Haibo, haibo. Yo, yo. Bafana, bafana, why? Any idea who's quoted as saying that? Is Upendo here? Is Upendo here? I don't know if she's here, but that was one of Upendo, sister from UCT's Facebook update. And I must say, it has been absolutely surprising over the last couple of weeks just to see how many new soccer fans there are out there. And people that you would never have expected to be so excited about football. It's been quite encouraging. And a soccer fever has been fascinating to observe. I don't know if you know this, but the FIFA website has been receiving more hits and more page views than Facebook. Talking about currently 16 million page views over a given period of time. Those of you who use Twitter, 3,000 tweets related to soccer every second. The most downloaded iTunes application is the iTunes Vuvuzela. And we're talking about worldwide here. Wow, that was not planned. It has just been fascinating to see. I was watching, flipping through the channels yesterday, and I saw the end of a rugby match between Argentina and Scotland. And you know what was happening in the background? Man, there were all these fans blowing vuvuzelas. Now, this is happening. I think it happened in Scotland. No South Africans to be seen. A rugby game, and yet everyone's blowing their vuvuzelas. I want to read some more quotes. Some of your Facebook page updates. The United States was robbed. That was from Maria Monoto. I don't know if she's here or if she's in kids. Men. World Cup games are taking up my watching other TV shows time. I mean, I've never watched this many football matches in my life. Anyone want to claim that one? Okay. That actually came off Wendy's page. I guess thanks to Dad there. Managed to spot Prince William, Prince Harry, and David Beckham. The question you need to ask is, when Jill was at the soccer on Friday, was she really there for the soccer? Of course Africa is having a hard time. 3/4 of our talent is on the French team and other European teams. You know who our soccer analyst is? Sinana, also one of the girls from UCT. It's amazing how many analysts are out there. Game after game, the painful onslaught continues. Why me? Every team I support loses. Bafana, France, Germany, Cameroon, Nigeria, and now USA. Mara, why? The same person, I'll tell you who it is now, had this to say about one game, the very same game. Okay, seriously, a second goal? I am so over this. A little bit later, same game. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A little bit later, oh no, the drama, yo, hi, boy, hi, ish, amiwa, amaiwe, yui, yo, it's too much, yo. That's what Fungai had to say. And I don't know if you've noticed, this is just the girls here. This is just the girls. Now, I might need some help here. Vijana wa Germany, mnami fura Hisha, sana mpira wa leo ni mkali. Okay, I got a feeling that Swahili, I don't know, Stanley, you speak a little bit of Swahili. Do you understand what I was saying there? What was it? It was Vijana wa Germany, nami fura Hisha, sana mpira wa leo ni mkali, with lots of eyes. Okay. And you know who said that? Does anyone want to claim that? Dennis, why don't you stand for being so expressive about the German team? Now, I don't know if Dinos has ever played soccer before, but I did see Germany there, so I thought it's got to be something about soccer. But it is wonderful to see so many people getting engaged in the soccer in the World Cup. So many sisters taking up soccer as a hobby, and I must say, after all the hype, all the excitement, I was pretty gutted on Wednesday night. It was a very discouraging time. And, you know, a lot of people put a lot of hope in their soccer teams. And unfortunately, one of the things that I think a lot of teams and a lot of fans are realizing is that hope on its own is not enough. And in our lives too, we don't make progress just by hoping, do we? We don't make progress, we don't achieve the goals and the dreams that we desire just by hoping that things will change. And right now we're in the middle of a series or nearing the end of a series all about life's healing choices. And it's a series about overcoming different hurts, different hang-ups, different bad habits. And today what we're going to be talking about is the choice of intentional spiritual growth. Not falling into the trap of believing that just by waiting, just by hoping that things will change, that they actually will. That there's a general sort of feeling, I think it's because, you know, physically we naturally grow. No matter what any one of us do, we will eventually grow older. You can't reverse that. But you know what happens naturally when it comes to our spiritual lives? Is we stagnate. The thing that happens naturally to us spiritually is we decay. And so because of that, if we want to grow, we can't just wait for natural processes. We have to be intentional about our growth. And I constantly face things in my life where you know, I wish and I dream that I could be different. Different character qualities, different things that I see in my life and decisions that I make. But when I look at the facts on the table, the only things that ever do change are the things that I intentionally make happen. Just sitting there hoping and realizing and dreaming and observing just absolutely does nothing for me. And as we look at this choice to intentionally grow and contentionally be about our spiritual growth, I want to introduce three areas that we can be intentional and three areas that we can make great choices in order to grow. They are character, competence, and chemistry. Now, we'll start off with character. I was fortunate enough to have been able to go to some of the games at Greenpoint Stadium, and it's been a great experience, a great time to be a part of the vibe and the dancing and the singing. And I don't know how many of you have had a chance to go to Greenpoint. I know there've been a couple of you. One of the things, and you can ask these guys, is at the stadium you can buy yourself an incredibly overpriced hot dog. $25. For a hot dog, and there's nowhere else to go. If you want to eat, that's pretty much all that's on offer. And we were there, and there was long queues wherever you went. And I said, okay, you know, let's there's only one World Cup. Let's buy ourselves an expensive hot dog. And so I stood in the queue, and it was just taking ages. I mean, I literally stood there for 20 minutes. Eventually, got to the front of the queue. And as I got there, I was told, we've run out of hot dog rolls. I was like, this wasn't even half time. I was like, how do you not even know? This is what was going on in my heart. How do you not even know that there's going to be people wanting hot dogs? I mean, at $25 a piece, this is an opportunity to make some money here. And they said, listen, the hot dogs will be about 5 to 10 minutes to get some more rolls. I said, okay, well, you know, well, I'll wait. Literally, now, I put on a happy face. I was like, hey, you know what, it's not these guys' fault. There was a lady standing next to me. And literally, for 10 minutes, she complained and she shouted at the till lady. And literally, I was just sort of sitting there, and I just listened to this and listened to this. Why, you know, what's going on? You know, why aren't there any hot dog rolls? The lady said, I don't know. Literally, a minute later, why aren't there any hot dog rolls? I was just sort of, you know, I was just sort of taking deep breaths. Okay, James, be patient, you know. And it was distracting me a little bit from the fact that I had to wait for the hot dog rolls. Eventually, after 10 minutes, the lady said, listen, we've had an announcement. You're going to have to go somewhere else. We ain't getting any more hot dog rolls. This lady started complaining, where's the manager? I want to speak to someone. I need an explanation here. Eventually, I couldn't take it anymore, and I said, sorry, excuse me, lady, there is nothing that the till lady can do about this. And it was just, we had a little conversation, and it all ended peacefully. But it was just amazing to see what a response a little setback like not getting your 25 rand hot dog can elicit in a person. And if we as people don't develop character, then that is exactly what we become. We become people who cannot handle setbacks. We become people who cannot handle situations when the plan changes a little bit. When you expect something and it turns out a little bit differently, you become a person who cannot handle the hurts and the hang-ups. Now, have a look in Romans chapter 5. Character is not something that develops by just letting life happen to you. I used to think it was. I used to think that, you go through the school of hard knocks in order to develop character. But over the years, I've come to realize that I've seen enough people go through the school of hard knocks and come out looking terrible on the other side to realize that it's not just about the school of hard knocks. The character is developed by intentionally choosing to make the most of tough situations in order to grow. But there needs to be intention. Romans 5 verse 1, let's read together here. Paul's writing, he says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He's given us. The Bible here says suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. Suffering alone does not produce character. That there's something that has to happen in between. That it's through persevering when the going gets tough. Persevering when you don't feel like it anymore. That character is developed. Now I really towards the end of last year, realized that my eating habits was not helping my spiritual life. I was eating very haphazardly. I wasn't eating very healthily, eating a lot of junk, you know how it goes. And what happened was that with the bad eating, the lack of exercise, I was just feeling lethargic. I don't know if you know that feeling. You just feel tired. You wake up feeling tired. You go to bed, you feel restless. When it comes to needing to concentrate, your attention span is just diminished. And I was just really finding that I was feeling more lazy, feeling more easily distracted. And having all of these things going on in my life, feeling more emotional. It's hard to focus on spiritual things when you're feeling lazy, distracted, emotional. Can anyone relate to me? And I realized a lot of that had to do with just my general health and how I was eating. And I'd been through and have been through for a long time, because I have a bit of a struggle with eating, and I'm an emotional eater. And I've been through that. Boy, I need to eat better. Man, you know what? I really must do better in this area. I'll arrive and say, boy, you know what? I'm not having dessert today. And by the time I leave, I've had three desserts. I've been through all of that. And what I realized was I'd spent a lot of time hoping, dreaming, wishing, saying, making promises, sort of airy-fairy promises. But I hadn't actually been intentional about building the character that I need to be able to say no when I really want to say yes. And I found myself at the beginning of this year, beginning of January, weighing 94 kilograms. Now that is way more than I had ever weighed in my life. And it was, I stood there on the scale. I hadn't weighed myself all the way through sort of December and November. And I sort of stared at that, and it was a shocking time. And I made some very concrete decisions at that point in order to really make some changes. If I sort of, you know, if you add a kilogram a year from there, in 10 years' time, it's not a pretty picture. And a kilogram a year is not difficult to put on. And so what I did was I started making some very basic decisions. Maybe you can take some advice if you struggle with the same thing. Instead of deciding what to have for breakfast when I woke up, I decided the night before. And so the night before, I'd say, okay, you know, for breakfast, I'm going to have a boiled egg. That's it. And so when I woke up in the morning, and the box of Cocoa Pops was saying to me, James, just like a chocolate milkshake, only crunchy. I was like, listen, Jana, I've already made my decisions here. When I'd go into Pick and Pay, I would walk in there and I'd have to do this, literally decide, you know what? I know what's going to happen as I walk to the till. It's going to be like someone finishing the Comrades Marathon with sort of an aisle of people, except this time it's an aisle of chocolates, all cheering me on as I walk towards the hill saying, James, you deserve me. Just buy me. But I knew before I walked in that that would happen. I would schedule how many gym sessions I needed to have a week. And I'd say, you know what, it's not if I get to gym, it's I'm going to go to gym 3 times. I don't care when it is, if it's late at night, if it's early in the morning, I was getting up an hour earlier, but I'm going to make this happen. And the days that I absolutely couldn't, I was there doing push-ups before bed to try and make up for it. I would schedule a regular weigh-ins. I don't know if you've ever watched The Biggest Loser. Sort of weigh-in time. But instead of sort of just hoping that, you know, I'm losing some weight here, I would schedule literally every week, every 2 weeks. I couldn't do it every day. It was too discouraging. But I would schedule regular weigh-ins, because I thought, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I need to do it properly. Can't just hope for it to happen. You need to make plans. I would read up on efficient ways to exercise. Did you know that you can go to gym for an hour and it can basically be a waste of time if you're not doing it properly? So I read articles, I asked advice, I really thought I'm not wasting my time. I got some great advice on 20-minute workouts, which I thought that's a little bit more sort of handleable for me schedule-wise. I gave myself a day off every week. May sound like a little bit of a jippo, but it actually helped me a lot to realize, boy, you know what, I've just got 6 days to say no to that chocolate cake. But on the 7th day, the Lord said, you need to have a day off. And I'll tell you right now, it didn't go perfectly. There were many slip-ups along the way. But on my birthday in May, I'd lost 10 kilograms in the space of those four and a half months. Not by hoping, not by dreaming, not by making empty promises, but by being intentional. Will your character what is it for you that you need to grow in and you need to change? And how intentional have you been about it? How intentional have your decisions been? I mean, think of the improvements to your life as you develop the character to be able to say no and actually stick to what you say. And it can be as something as no to the extra slice of chocolate cake. But I know how it feels when you walk in there, you say I'm not going to, and you do, and you walk out of there. I know how it feels, that break in integrity. It's just a horrible feeling. It might not be chocolate cake, it can be any number of examples. But imagine your life if you are able to hold to the promises that you make to yourself. Think of your life when you get into situations, how wonderful it'd be, where you feel tempted to be angry. Maybe with the car in the traffic. Greg, I got a surprise in the post the other day from December. It didn't have a photo, so I don't know whether it was really me. Could have been my wife. But but history would have it that it is me. But it could still be coming. But imagine how much better your life would be if you feel tempted to be angry in the traffic. You feel tempted to be angry or frustrated with your parents or with your spouse, and yet you choose the route of peace. How better your life would be. How much better your life would be when your alarm goes off and it says, hey, why don't you get up and read your Bible before work? And you actually listen. How much better your life would be. You can have that. But you need to be intentional in order to grow the character you desire. You know, the second area is competence. Now, I'm sure that most of you are aware that Bafana Bafana still has a mathematical possibility of making it. And there are a bunch of statisticians and soccer analysts. They got together and they worked out just what would it take for the South African team to make it through to the next round. And they came up with a very simple idea. And praise God for such insightful analysts. But you know, there are a lot of teams at this World Cup that are realizing that it is not enough to be the best looking soccer team. It is not enough to be the richest soccer team. It is not enough to be the most passionate. It is not enough to want to lift the World Cup the most. What it also takes is to have the competence to achieve that goal. And in your life, you have also got to have certain competences in order to win. To be a single person in a group of friends that is all married and has children takes competence. It is a skill that can be learned and needs to be learned. To move from being a mother to being a grandmother is like a whole new level of motherhood. It takes competence. To have children that are heading in a direction that you don't feel so comfortable about and you don't like takes competence. It takes learned skills. To be an empty nester and to use that privilege in order to help and to serve God takes competence. Doesn't just come naturally. It's not something automatic. To have a busy work schedule, to have a busy life, to have a busy family, and yet at the same time to be fully engaged in the things of God takes competence. And these competences, they don't just come naturally. You've got to be intentional about growing them. In Ecclesiastes 10:10, it says, you don't have to turn there, it says, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed. But skill will bring success. you know, you can work hard in all of these areas and more. You can put in effort, you can put in time. But unless you are intentionally sharpening your axe, you'll be spending a lot of effort and not getting much growth out of it. You know, a while back, Devet, sitting over there, he asked me to help him with his ability to help other people spiritually. Whether it's helping other people who are far from God that need to be sort of brought into the fold. Whether it's helping people who are already following Jesus, but just needed some guidance. And the thing that was so impressive about his request was not that he asked for it. Many people ask for it. What was impressive was he would phone me almost every week to ask me for advice. And it was over the period of the last 12 months, it is no surprise that Devet has grown so much in his walk with God and his ability to help other people. And if you're involved in his life, I'm sure you'll agree with me. And again, it's not by wishing, not by hoping he could do better. There was intentional competence growth that he chose to do by picking up the phone and getting advice. And my guess is that every one of us, we've got an area or two where we can grow in our competence. And I'm sure there's also an area or two that you can grow, but maybe you haven't been quite intentional enough about it. Again, holding on to hope, holding on to nature, where nature is only going to take you back. Maybe it's competence as a wife, to be able to create a positive family rhythms in your home. It doesn't just come naturally. It's something that you need to learn how to do. How do you create a wonderful rhythm in your family? That's a role for mums to learn. Maybe it's your competence as a dad, learning, boy, or as a husband, how do I lead my family? If you've been a husband for a while, you realize, boy, this isn't so easy. How do you learn that? That's a competence. As a single parent, how do you do this? I don't know. I respect you tremendously, but it's a competence that can be learned and that needs to be learned. Competence as a soul winner. You can be eager, excited, desiring to reach out for people, but maybe you realize, boy, you know what, with all that eagerness, I haven't had any breakthroughs. And maybe it's not the eagerness that's the problem, but it's the competence. Competence as a counselor. I know there's many gifted listeners and many gifted people in this room who love to help. But maybe your desire to help is not matched by people's desire to have you help them. And maybe there's some skills that you need to learn on how to counsel, how to help. Think of an area, and again, it should be different for all of us. Think of an area where you feel inadequate. Where you feel inadequate, you feel like an underperformer. Well, you're not going to become competent in that area unless you intentionally go about changing it. We spoke about these things in Life Sealing Choice Part 3. You might remember this. But let's say you're lacking competence in the area of efficiency. Okay? You have a long to-do list and you never seem to be able to get through it. Okay? Here's some advice of how you can gain some competence. And again, put in your own, you know, words there, your own topic. First thing you do, you study it. You read scriptures. If efficiency is your problem, read scriptures on discipline. Read all the scriptures on laziness. If you can't find laziness in your Bible, look up sloth. Okay? That also describes you if you've got that problem. Read up action orientation. There's some great books. There's a book called Getting Things Done. If you struggle to get things done, why don't you read that book? It'll help you. There's a book called The Disciplined Life. The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. First Things First. These are all books that you can study. Scriptures that you can study to become more competent in that area. Secondly, get a mentor. Find someone who's already doing well in that area and steal their secrets. Advice, for the most part, is free. Find someone, invite them out for a cup of coffee, steal their secrets. Get an accountability partner. Rather, someone that you see regularly that can ask you simple questions like, how's it going with your to-do list? It's amazing. When I get asked that question, I quickly run back to my to-do list and I do like five things. Just by someone asking. Get an accountability partner. And then finally, just do it. Don't philosophize. Don't dream of what it would be like. Just take a step in the right direction. Hoping is not enough. Hoping will leave your axe head dull. You need to be intentional about sharpening up if you want to become more competent. Finally, chemistry. Yo, soccer fans are opinionated. And I must say, I'm one of those guilty ones. You can be watching the same match, and you'll hear, man, the team was useless. You'll hear, oh my goodness, the team didn't play that badly. The other team was just better. The ref was terrible. It was the vuvuzelas. Man, it was the soccer ball. I mean, it's just amazing to hear how many opinions fly around about just one thing. Fire the coach. Change the captain. Get new players. Bring back the old players. About the same match. Now, the thing you need to ask yourself as we sit here in church is, if we can be that opinionated about one game of soccer, think how many more opinions are going around about what happens in church. What songs we should sing. What songs we should definitely not sing. What we should be preaching about. How did the lesson go? What are people wearing? How's my small group functioning? Who makes all the decisions? These are all opinions that we have. And being opinionated in itself is not a problem. But how do we function as a family with all these opinions going around? You know, chemistry is the relational ability to get along with people that are different to you. You see chemistry on the sports field. You see it in relationships. You see it in teams. It is a powerful quality, and it is a crucial quality for us as a church. The Bible calls for an exceptional chemistry between us. It'll come up on the screen. 1 Corinthians 1 says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Acts 2 says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Acts 4, all the believers were one in heart and mind. It is a high standard that the Bible calls us to. And I used to believe that chemistry is something that some people either have or they don't have. You know, you can sort of see someone who's, you throw them into a group of strangers and they're just able to make friends easily, and it's a gift that you either have or you don't have. But over the last couple of years, my opinion on that has changed quite substantially. I now believe that even those with a lot of relational ability also have big weaknesses that can hold them back relationally. And those who do not have natural chemistry can grow tremendously in that area. But for both groups, it doesn't happen on its own. It takes being intentional. That you can learn to be more forgiving. You can learn to be a better listener. You can learn to be less stubborn in your opinions. Because again, opinions is not a problem. The problem is when you hold on to that and boy, no one is going to change your mind. You can learn to undo some of that. You can learn to be more friendly. You can learn to be a team player. And like the other C's of character and competence, You've got to study it out. You've got to read everything you can on it. Be mentored. Have accountability. And act. But growth is available to you with intention. You know, to close out here, when you walked in, most of you were given a little pack of Super C's. You can be a Super C. And what I want to call everyone in here to be is a Super C. A man and woman who intentionally makes great decisions to grow in character, in competence, and in chemistry. And my prayer and my desire for everyone here is that we will be intentional about our growth and we won't leave it up to empty dreams and empty hopes. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close with a